today as we come to the table.
This the Bible describes in other places as the time of Jacob's trouble. It says it'll be the worst time in world history for the Jews. Now think about all the Jews have been through. Even just speaking recently of what Hitler did, killing 6 million of them, he's saying that's nothing compared to what the Antichrist is going to do to the Jews. When we go to Israel, and I've shared this with you before, I don't see them as often now, but I'll still see them sometimes, these old bumper stickers that say never again. And those were printed up to say we'll never again be dominated and brutalized like Hitler did to us in World War II. And it breaks my heart because I realize when I read that, yes, you will. And it's going to be a lot worse than Hitler ever was.
The Bible makes it clear that there will be trouble in this life on earth. We've all seen a glimpse of hardship, some more than others. No one has seen hardship like the Jewish people, though. Enslaved, roaming in the wilderness, brought under captivity, and dominated by Hitler in World War II. Can the Jewish people endure more? Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. As we learn about the end times in the Bible, we learn that the Jewish people will endure more hardships than ever before. How can this be? Where's God in the midst of their troubles? Pastor Mark shows us today in the book of Daniel that God has not forgotten his people, nor will he ever. There is hope, even in the darkest hour. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Notice what it says here, verse 9. Again, Daniel's getting the entire vision, then the angel will give the details after that. He said, I watched until thrones were put in place. This is after the Antichrist rules, and the Ancient of Days was seated. So this is Jesus coming to take control. His garment was white as snow. His hair and his head were like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. That's us, by the way. The court was seated, that is the court of God, and the books were opened. When Jesus comes back, he'll separate the sheep from the goats. The books will be opened, and if you're not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're not getting in. And all the things that we've done wrong are still written down in those books until we give our life to Jesus. Here's the good news. God records everything we've ever done. That's the bad news. The good news is when you give your life to the Lord, all the other books with your name in it are erased. You can't even read it with a special detective lemon juice, you know, in that secret way. It's gone. And the only thing that'll be is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that great news? Listen, I don't want you guys to know anything more about me than you already know as far as the bad stuff. And the bottom line is I'm glad it's all going to be erased because I don't want to remember it either. But the books will be open. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words. It's like he's this big loud mouth is getting his attention, this Antichrist, which the horn was speaking. And I watched till the beast was slain. So he's wiped out. And its body was destroyed and given to the burning flame. That's talking about the Antichrist being thrown into the lake of fire. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, here comes Jesus, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, that is the Father, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all the peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. That is no longer the Antichrist. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. What great news. So he gives Daniel the whole vision here, the picture, and what Daniel says, what he sees, and all this. And the angel now is going to describe what's happened here. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And I came near to one of those who stood by, that is, there were angels there, and asked him the truth about all this. And he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. He says, those great beasts which are four kings. That is, over these four kingdoms that Daniel saw in Daniel chapter 2, these worldwide kingdoms, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and forever. Praise the Lord for that. Then I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast. Notice this fourth beast is still bothering Daniel greatly. By the way, Daniel was just in the first kingdom. He was still with again, in Babylon, actually in the second kingdom now, the Medo-Persians, because the Babylon had fallen by now. But the one that concerns him is the fourth beast. It so bothered Daniel. He said, I need to know more about this. It's different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron, its nails of bronze, which devoured and broke in pieces and trampled even the residue, so to speak, with its feet. And the 10 horns that were on its head and the other horn which came up before which three fell, namely the horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke these pompous words, which whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I mean, even though he looked, you could tell he was a leader. He's a mighty warrior. This is the one we're going to follow. This guy's going to have everything Hollywood would want in a worldwide hero. And he's going to have the power of Satan to back him up. And so notice as I was watching, and the same horn that is the Antichrist was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. We're going to see this in Revelation as well. Wait a minute. I thought the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. It won't. The church is gone by this time. That's the whole point. If the church was here, the Antichrist would prevail against the church. But we've been promised that he will not prevail, which means the church must be gone by the time the Antichrist comes on the scene. But here he's prevailing against the saints, that is those that are saved after the rapture of the church. And Revelation says multitudes will be. That is a lot of your family and friends that are making fun of you now, that are mocking you now, that refuse to believe. They're going to get saved after we're gone because the evidence will be overwhelming. Oh my goodness. And they're going to have to go through the great tribulation. Aren't you glad you don't have to? And that should give us a heart to pray all the more for our family and friends, just to listen to us, to listen to someone that comes in their life, that they don't have to go through this terrible time and this terrible kingdom that we're reading about right now. Anyway, it goes on. And so it says, this will happen. He will prevail against the saints until, verse 22, the Ancient of Days came. That is the Lord. And a judgment was made in favor of the saints. That'll be at the second coming of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Thus he said, now he describes in more detail, he lays out the overall picture, now he gives more detail about this fourth beast to answer Daniel. The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on the earth, again this revived Roman Empire, which shall be different from all other kingdoms. It shall devour the entire earth, trample it, break it in pieces. The 10 horns are 10 kings, which shall arise from this kingdom, and another as the Antichrist, shall rise up after them. He shall be different from the first ones, that he'll be greater than them. He shall subdue three of those kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High. Notice he's going to be talking against God. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High, that is those who missed the rapture and getting saved. And he shall intend to change times and law, that is he'll try to change God's timetable and God's plan for the end days. He won't be able to do it, but he's going to try. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. Now, here's another word phrase that's used consistently in prophecy. It means 3.5 years. A time represents a year. Times, plural, represents 2 years. Half a time, very obvious what that means. So he's talking about 3.5 years. And much of what Daniel sees are the final 3.5 years of the Antichrist, when in this 7-year period, this final 7 years, God is going to deal with Israel and the world before he comes back. At the 3.5 year point, Satan's going to declare that he's God. The Antichrist is going to declare that he's God, Satan speaking through him. And Daniel sees most of that. When he speaks of the time, times, and half a time, he sees the rulership and the blasphemy and the pompous words of this Antichrist saying, I'm God, worship me, etc. And so that's why we see time, times, and a half a times in Daniel's vision. But here's the good news. The court was seated. What court? The court of God. When Jesus comes back. And they shall take away his dominion, that is the Antichrist's, to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High, that we're going to rule and reign with him. Remember, the Bible says, and his kingdom, that is the Lord's kingdom, is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominion shall serve and obey him. I can't wait. This is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. So Daniel doesn't have the understanding that we do today. We now know the Messiah is Jesus Christ. We now have history with us. We now have the book of Revelation, which he didn't have. So we have a lot that Daniel didn't, which gives us a great advantage in understanding. Now, as we get into chapter 8, again, we're going to jump around like we did in 7, not reading all of it, but we're going to look at a further vision that Daniel had at another time where God was giving Daniel more information. And we're going to have to jump in right here at the end of the third kingdom, which, by the way, was Alexander the Great's kingdom. We need that running goat to head into the fourth kingdom. And Alexander is going to be presented as a male goat. Remember, he took the entire world over. He'll also be seen as a giant horn. He was ruling the earth at that time, conquered the known world by his 30s, and died of what would appear alcoholism, complained there were no other kingdoms to conquer. And so let's just read it. I want you to have an idea who this is. Look at verse 8 of chapter 8. This is the third kingdom. Therefore, the male goat grew very great, Alexander the Great. But when he became strong, the large horn was broken. That is Alexander. He died at a young age. And in place of it, four notable horns came up toward the four winds of heaven. This is amazing. Of course, for prophecy, we shouldn't be surprised. God's always 100% accurate. This was looking forward. Alexander didn't even exist yet. We can now look back. When Alexander died, this is exactly what happened. Alexander died, and they said, "Who shall we leave the kingdom to?" As he was dying, he said, "Leave it to the strong." And when he died, they turned the kingdom over to four of his strongest generals. And that is what Daniel is seeing in this vision. He gave it to four other horns that took over the kingdom. And notice this, out of these horns that were spread around the world ruling it, look at verse 9, out of one of them came a little horn. Now remember, there's your clue again. We're talking about the Antichrist, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land. He's going to take the entire world over. And notice the glorious land, that's Israel. So he's also going to have his eyes set on Israel. As a matter of fact, we're going to see that he's going to have a throne on Israel. He's going to have an image set up on Israel. He's going to be in Jerusalem a lot on the Temple Mount because he knows that's where the Lord's throne is going to be. And he's going to be blaspheming God and pretending that he can be God and that he's taking over. Guys, remember the word Antichrist, it doesn't just mean in opposition to, it means instead of. That's literally what anti means. He's going to be the instead of Jesus. He's going to try to take Jesus' place and be the Savior of the world. We have one Savior of the world. His name is Jesus, and he can never be replaced. But the Antichrist is going to try, under the influence of Satan, to do that. And notice this horn grew up to the host of heaven and cast down some of the host, that is the angels. It refers to the angels as the host in Scripture, and some of the stars to the ground. Again, the angels are also referred to as stars. And it trampled them. Again, it would appear it's speaking of Satan when he was thrown out. A third of the angels were thrown out with him. And what the vision is showing Daniel is that Satan is going to be the one working through this little horn, the one that was thrown out, the one that cast down a third of the angels with him and pulled those angels out of heaven. He's going to be the spirit behind the Antichrist. And notice what it says about him. He even exalted himself as high as the prince of the host. That is Jesus himself. This guy's going to be so arrogant. He's going to claim to replace Jesus. He's going to claim that he's God. He's going to claim that he's the Savior of the world. And he's going to try to take the place of the Lord. We're going to see something very sinister he will do in that deception a little bit later. But notice it says, and by him, the daily sacrifices were taken away and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Now, what is this daily sacrifices? Again, the Bible says that when the Antichrist signs that treaty, Daniel chapter 9, when he signs the treaty with the nation of Israel, he's going to allow them to rebuild their third temple at the beginning of that final 7 years. And he's going to allow them to once again sacrifice animals on the Temple Mount. So they will begin to sacrifice animals to the God of heaven on the Temple Mount. But here's the thing. He's going to hate that. He's going to allow them and pretend that it's okay. But 3.5 years later, when he stands on the Temple Mount and says, "No, I'm God, and you will bow down to me," this is what it's talking about when he says he will take away the daily sacrifices. He cannot allow anyone to worship anyone else or sacrifice to any other god. He alone wants to be God, even as Satan said, "I will be like the Most High. I will ascend to the farthest sides of the north." He's going to be working by his spirit through the Antichrist. And the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Because of transgression, an army was given over to the horn, that is, the Antichrist will have his own military because of his world power, to oppose the daily sacrifices. So a military will come in to stop them. And he cast down truth to the ground. He'll deny the word of God. He'll deny the truth of God and put himself as God. He did all this and prospered. Remember, darkness will have its hour again, even as it did in Jesus' day. Now jump down to verse 23, where it talks about, again, this final 3.5 years, the returning of the Lord. Look at verse 23. It says, "And in the latter time of their kingdom," that is these 10 kings and these 10 kingdoms that are ruling the earth, "when the transgressions have reached their fullness, a king shall arise, having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes." Again, more details about the Antichrist. Notice he'll have fierce features. He's going to look like a warrior. He's going to look commanding. He's going to be the man to follow. Man, look at this guy. What a specimen he's going to be. Big, loudmouth, pompous, arrogant, the whole world bowing to this guy. But notice how he's going to operate with sinister schemes. Sinister means doing things in a very clever, sneaky way that manipulate the masses. He'll be doing things that cause the masses just to go along because he said so. And everyone will agree that it's the right thing to do. Guys, some of that is blowing in the wind already. We're seeing the headwinds of these sinister schemes taking place before our very eyes. "His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power." The Bible says his power will be given by Satan himself. And Satan has limited power to distribute. Remember, he offered it to Jesus in the wilderness, and Jesus said no. He's going to offer it to this guy, and this guy's going to say, "You've got a deal. He shall destroy fearfully, and he shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper." Again, how many of you see that already blowing in the wind around the world? Deceit is prospering today, and he'll do it under his rule. It's going to get worse. "And he shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. And he shall even rise against the prince of princes." Again, there it is, trying to take the place of Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. "But he shall be broken without human means." The Bible says when Jesus comes back at the second coming, he's simply going to speak the word and the Antichrist is going to be wiped out and defeated. And then he'll be grabbed and thrown into the lake of fire. That's what the vision is talking about. "And the vision of the evenings and mornings, which was told, is true." Again, the prophet verifying it's from God. "Therefore, seal up the vision, for it refers to many days in the future." And again, I believe that's the days we're living in today. And that brings us to chapter 12. Turn to your right to chapter 12 of Daniel, because now we're going to see the very end, the final 3.5 years again, the return of Jesus Christ, what God tells Daniel about understanding of us and prophecy in the last days. And in chapter 12, again, Daniel's in the middle of this vision he's getting from an angel, an explanation from an angel. We don't have time to cover all of it. But starting in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "At that time," this is the very end, "Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people," who are your people, the Jews. He's speaking to Daniel. And remember, there's going to be many Jews that are saved during the Great Tribulation, as well as other Gentiles. But he's specifically saying Michael is going to protect the Jews. Why? We see in Scripture that Michael is the protector of the nation of Israel. And Michael is no angel to be messed with. He's an archangel. He has great power. He's the one that Gabriel calls on to help break through when he's going to Daniel, and Daniel's praying earlier and being blocked by the demonic realm. Again, remember when Sennacherib came against Hezekiah in Jerusalem, it says 185,000 Syrian soldiers were there on the Mount of Olives, and that night one angel went out and killed all 185,000. Since Michael is the protector of Israel, I bet that was Michael. This is one bad dude. You don't want to mess with Michael. And so Michael shows up. When Michael stands up and shows up, I'm sure the demonic realm went, "Oh my goodness, it's Michael." And everybody else in the spiritual realm is going, "Yes, it's Michael." Again, I can't wait to see Michael. He's going to be awesome. He says, "And this, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as was never since there was a nation." This the Bible describes in other places as the time of Jacob's trouble. It says it'll be the worst time in world history for the Jews. Now think about all the Jews have been through. Even just speaking recently of what Hitler did, killing 6 million of them, he's saying that's nothing compared to what the Antichrist is going to do to the Jews. When we go to Israel, and I've shared this with you before, I don't see them as often now, but I'll still see them sometimes, these old bumper stickers that say "never again." And those were printed up to say we'll never again be dominated and brutalized like Hitler did to us in World War II. And it breaks my heart because I realize when I read that, yes, you will. And it's going to be a lot worse than Hitler ever was. It'll be the time of Jacob's trouble. It's going to be a time for your people and a time of trouble for the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is when Michael shows up to rescue them, as the Lord ultimately is their rescuer during this time of trouble. Not since they've been a nation has it been this bad, even to that time, the worst ever. Not only for them, but world history, the Bible tells us. And at that time, your people, that is the Jews, shall be delivered. God's going to come and rescue them, those that have been saved. That is everyone who is found written in the book. That is those in the book of life of the Jews who get saved after the rapture. Michael's going to come and fight for them, and the Lord's going to come rescue them at the very end. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Here's the bottom line. He's saying, look, if you're sharing Jesus with people and they're getting saved, you're going to get brighter and brighter and brighter in your reward, and you're going to shine like the stars in heaven. Is that amazing or what? Listen, I'm not a gamer. Maybe some of you are. But when you're doing those games, you come across those things or whatever, and you get brighter, you know, and you gain more points or something. Every time you lead someone to Christ, I mean, it was whatever. And you're like, you're brighter, and you're going to be shining forever. He says, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Notice this, until the time of the end. Guess what we're living in? The time of the end. It's no longer sealed. He said, seal it until the time of the end. God is now revealing what's happening. God is showing us what's happening. Listen to what Daniel says, or the angel says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Again, to and fro, planes traveling all over the world, a technology that Daniel couldn't even imagine. But notice this, also he says, and knowledge shall increase. I believe he's talking about Bible knowledge, but I think it's also talking about what we're seeing happening in the tech world today. Guys, listen, it's amazing what's happening technologically. It's expanding so rapidly, we can't keep up with it. Maybe you saw what Facebook is doing now, changing their name to Meta, and they're going to have what they call the metaverse, where you put these special glasses on, and you're going to be able to see holograms of each other. Rather than when you do a business call or when you get on your computer, that you put those glasses on, they'll literally be right there in the room. You'll be talking to their emoji or whatever. I think they're calling it an avatar or whatever. But you're going to be talking to that image of that person. And the technology is there to do this. Again, this is going to be interesting in just a second when we read again in Revelation 13 that the image will have breath and speak from the Temple Mount of the Antichrist. Can you imagine? When he takes over the world, he can be anywhere on the planet, and from the Temple Mount, blaspheming God, pretending he's the ruler from there, he can give the world a message. He can give his mandates, his dictates, his whatever he's doing. As a matter of fact, if he wants everyone put their glasses on, he'll show up in your living room. That's pretty creepy. And yet the technology is in place. Again, I'm not saying these guys that are developing this technology are the Antichrist or anything like that. Don't take me wrong. I'm saying the technology is in place for this Antichrist when he shows up on the scene. And then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on the riverbank and the other on that riverbank. These are two angels. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these things be? That is, once this process begins, how long will it be? Again, we know it's 3.5 years, but he's going to tell Daniel. And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river. When he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, he swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. Again, the Bible's code for 3.5 years.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's Word with us each and every day on this station. Say, wasn't that message great? Pastor Mark is helping us follow the journey of Jesus through the book of Matthew. And along the way, we're finding great highs and very low lows. Jesus will be worshiped by the people, but also beaten and killed by the authorities. But we know that in the kingdom of God, everything gets turned upside down because the lowest moment in the life of Jesus was also his greatest triumph, thanks to him conquering sin and death on the cross. And in the end, we will see him rise. But he doesn't leave it at that. Before he returns to heaven, he has a commission for you and me that we find in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Since we know the end of the story and we know that we're called to make disciples, let's lean into the teachings and commands of Jesus along the way. Now, if you missed any part of this message, You can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net under the Come to the Table section, or just download the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store and take us wherever you go. And while you go out to make disciples, save another half hour for us as we'll continue to go verse by verse through the book of Matthew the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.